If you have your Bible, if you turn with me to Isaiah 57, we're going to be looking just at one verse of scripture. We're going to be kind of taking it apart. If I'm honest, this is a bit of a heavier word today. It's probably not the wisest thing to have called it out of the get-go, is it? But and we're going to kind of look at it in two parts and unpack it, and hopefully it'll all come together. As we look at it, there's a kind of plot twist in the middle. So let's look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. And we're continuing to look at it as this theme of waiting on God is necessary for hosting glory, and also at what happens in that waiting place. It says, "This is what the high and exalted one says, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." This is a beautiful verse, and when you read this verse within the wider context of Isaiah, and you look at the other things that are going on within this section of the book of Isaiah, the section that this prophecy falls within is the section where Isaiah is prophesying Jesus. In this portion, he is beginning to tell us about Jesus. He's beginning to call out the plan of salvation and what that looks like. And in the verses leading up to this, as you read from chapter 56 and then up to this verse, Isaiah calls out the spiritual and moral condition of Israel. He proclaims that their leaders have failed to care for their people. As a result, the right standing and the righteous state of people's hearts have been impacted. Adultery, cruelty, sorcery began to rise among the people. Sexual immorality begins to shape the norm. Child sacrifice has been practiced. Idolatry and the shaping and forming of gods of preference has become the order of the day. And when you read the kind of context leading up to this passage, it's not an easy read. It's anything but uplifting. But as always, God reveals this ray of hope in the midst of all of this. Because even though what we read feels pretty damning and condemning, even with the severity of everything that is listed here, God presents hope, and he says in verse 13, "But whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain." He says there's idolatry, there's adultery, there's sorcery, there's child sacrifice, one of the worst things ever thought or imaginable to man. There's prostitution, there's all kinds of terrible things there's going on within the nation. But even such, those who take refuge in me, those who reach out to me are going to inherit the land and will possess my holy mountain. God is always so gracious, isn't he? He corrects and he challenges. But at the same time, he always offers hope and grace. And he says, those who take refuge in me, a refuge is a place of security, but in keeping with the theme that we're parked on of recent, a refuge is a place where you wait. It's a place where you wait out the storm, where you wait out the calamity, or a place of safety where you wait for the danger or the chaos to pass. God calls out a promise to those who shelter in him, those who find refuge in him, who wait for him in the midst of spiritual and moral chaos. He says, those who cling to me even in godless and sin-filled times,